Couple more minutes here on the Paula Gordon Show with E.L. Doctorow. Bill Russell, of course, is here with me, and I am Paula. You have a character, say, in The March. When this is over, it will not be over. I know these men. Mm-hmm. And I couple that with another observation from one of the women characters who says that she's just fed up with the gender, that the maleness of this entire event just offends her. There is a sense that you are, as Bill is saying earlier, that this is the big picture, that these are universal truths you're saying about men at war, about women in that context. And not everybody comes off great in The March or any of the books. Do you go back to those Greek myths? Are you looking for those big pictures as you let these people play their...
Oh, no. Good Lord, no. When you're writing, you don't want to know too much what you're doing. If you get too self-conscious.
When you got to the end of it, what did the story tell you then?
Well, I haven't read it since I finished it, so I can't tell you. I'll read it in about a year, and I'll have a view of it just as any other reader would. But my sense of it is that now, since you're speaking about these women characters, that, of course, it was... The war landed on them just as hard as on the men. And that's why there are at least three major women characters, the four, who go through the experience and react certain ways. I must have had the idea writing that this was a woman's experience as much as a man's.
And again, that seems very current.
Well, it's Emily Thompson, who's the daughter of a Supreme Court judge in Georgia, whose brother dies, and she remembers in fighting for the South, and she remembers how much space he took up in the House, and when his friends would come along, there were all these animal, not aware of anything, they just sort of had all these appetites, and they muscled her out of the way, her brother and his friends, and she makes something of this and connects it with the whole war thing. And then there's Mattie Jameson, who loses everything and attaches herself to the march, looking for her two sons who have been drafted somewhere back, and she hopes to find them, and eventually she does. And then... there were these two Confederate soldiers, Orley and Will, who've been each sentenced to death for desertion and sleeping on duty, who up in Milledgeville are taken out of prison to fight for the militia, George militia. And they will have adventures which have them change their identities as they change uniforms all through the book. And so to a certain extent, they're trying to not to be the perfect warrior. They're deadbeats, insane kind of buddies, one of them destined to commit a violent act at the end of the book. But all these people sort of gathered as I went along. I felt as if the book was marching, and they were attaching themselves to the march as the book went through wherever they were.
There's a central character in this, the Dr. Sartoris. It seems sort of a meditation on the Enlightenment, sort of plowing through all of this. That is, to me, just a fascinating character, and he's almost a spectral presence, except he's so bloody tangible.
As a surgeon, cutting off this, that, and the other.
Yeah. Well, I now that the book is done, but for talking about it, I don't imagine that I know anything more about it than any reader does at this point. And, sometimes people say, they give you an interpretation. They ask you to certify it, and
it's also Bill's Enlightenment character, not necessarily yours.
I tend to agree with any interpretation.
Well,
as long as it's not exhausting.
That being the case, I found myself sort of doing a present past boogies as I read the march, because I kept being able to see these people in Iraq right now and have a sense of the present as I was watching this move its way through in a devastating manner. Is that what the reader brings to it? Is that I'm able to put it in the present as you present to me the past? Is that my work?
Well, yeah. I mean, the text of a book is kind of a circuit that the reader's own mind flows through. And the illumination comes from the combination of the words and the reader's own mind. It's probably a different book for every reader. And I think you do bring things to it. You do. If you talk to actors who are in a long-run play, you say, well, how do they do this every night? It's because it's a different play every night because it's a different audience. And the audience feeds them. And I think that works for novels and readers, too. Of course, the great advantage I have over a playwright is that I don't have to be around when the readers read.
Well, happily, we are around. It is our great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much, both for today and for our 35, 40 years worth of books that we can continue to savor.
Thank you.
E.L. Doctorow once again graces the world's literary landscape with his novel, The March. It's as entertaining as it is powerful. We thank Mr. Doctorow for joining us and for all of his writing, offering the opportunity to enjoy getting to know the real America. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.